Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
All this week, we have a five-part series, a conversation with Adam Cox and Rex Connor. Adam is the brother to Lori Vallow Daybell. Rex is Lori Vallow Daybell's uncle, and they certainly have stories to share about their life and times with Lori Vallow Daybell leading up to the murders of her children and her ex-husband and the many other suspicious deaths that have surrounded her life. With Joe, obviously, he passes away of a heart attack shortly after the accusations are made and such. Obviously, again, a lot of death here surrounding basically one person and their path in life. What's your thoughts on that? There have never been any charges made. Do you think that this was a natural heart attack, or could have this been something where Lori was trying to, you know, get the obstacles out of her life that were in the way of maybe at that point having, you know, full custody of the kids?
Well, that was a huge thing. It was like getting full custody of the kids and Tylee and all that stuff. But that didn't happen right. The accusations of that, of them getting divorced, was, I don't know, 10 or 15, 10 years later or okay. Longer. So it was 10 years before that had happened. They've gone through battles and, you know, Tylee not wanting to go to Joe's, you know, as a kid to spend time with him when he got his weekends or whatever it was. And that went on for years before that happened. But with his death, there's, I mean, like I said, I don't know what actually happened. There's a lot of deaths that I am suspicious about. Joe's is one that I don't know if that was, you know, if Alex and Lori somehow had him killed in his apartment. You know, the argument on that is all the doors were locked from the inside, so nobody could have done that. I don't know if I believe that. That's what the police said, but I don't know if there's a way to do that. I don't know that enough about that, but I am definitely suspicious about that. And I'm suspicious about Alex's death too. So there's so many things that I wish I knew the answers to, but I am definitely not taking anybody's word for one thing, because I just don't know.
Sure. Rex, what's your thoughts?
That's my opinion also. I'm glad that the investigation to Joe Ryan's death is still open.
Yeah.
I look at the name of your podcast here, Tony, Hidden Killers, and I think that's a distinct possibility. I don't know. I don't have any insider information to it. Sure. I'm just glad the investigation's open and hope it runs its course.
Yeah, I mean, speculation on this point, but, you know, I always say, you know, educated guesses as well when it comes to stuff like this. If from the outside looking in, Lori seemed to be someone who really wanted to be validated. And correct me if my assumptions are incorrect or anything. They're just based on everything I've learned over the years. Validated, wanting attention, liking the attention. And I get, you know, we all like attention and stuff. Hell, you and me, Adam, have been in radio for most of our lives. So we get that. But can you speak to her need for that? Obviously having many husbands, the pattern that we see there seeming, I would look at it and go, nobody was ever good enough for her in her mind. Maybe I'm off on that, but that seems to be a pattern with someone who is going through that sort of thing. I mean, unless it's a constant circle of abuse. Was there an emptiness that Lori felt like she needed to have filled throughout her life?
I don't know for sure, but I would suspect that. I would suspect that, you know, somebody who with Lori's her talents. She's a good singer and a dancer and choreographer. She did all that. She did people's hair. She had a good personality. Everybody liked her. She was pretty, like all these different things that you would think but for some reason, I guess she didn't have a high self opinion of herself.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I feel like she was just settling with these different guys that she wanted to marry, that she then, after she was married, was like, oh, well, this isn't what I think in her mind was, I want to be married and have the white picket fence and have the kids. I think marriage to her was more of a fantasy than actually working on a relationship. Mm-hmm. So I think that she kept on thinking, well, I'm finally going to get, now with this new husband, I'm going to get what I want out of a marriage. I'm going to get the white picket fence. I'm going to, you know, have this. And I don't think it was more of like, oh, I'm in love with this person.
Mm-hmm.
So I think to me, that's kind of what went down.
When things weren't going right for her, whether it be in a marriage or any other sort of relationship, how did she typically react? Was she someone who, you know, would try and find peace with the individual, or would she be someone who would either run or just trying to escape it, block it, get away and restart? What was her kind of MO with those sort of encounters?
I think it was that. I think it was more running and getting away and trying to get out of it. I don't think, and I'm sure she tried to work on certain things and tried to work out relationships. I know her relationship with Will, when he would beat her up and stuff, she'd call me and I'd go pick her up.
Mm-hmm.
So I know she was abused by at least one of her husbands, physically. And then she really wanted to work it out. She wanted him to get baptized and be a member of the church. And she wanted that life of I think she really wanted that. And her first two husbands were strikeouts on that.
Yeah.
So then when she met Joe, then he got baptized and he got into the church. She wanted to have somebody go to church with her, have a family, and, you know, live this life. And the guys that she picked weren't the right guys for that role, I don't think.
A lot has been said, and just observational wise, when we look at the way Lori has reacted to things with almost numbness, I guess, is the way I would put it, where you could put something very powerful in front of her, and in many cases, oblivious to it or doesn't seem to see things on the same pane of reality as others. Obviously, more extreme right now with everything that has happened. One of the things that comes to mind is the phone call that we heard between Colby and her in the jail cell, where she's talking about, oh, I miss the children too, not really seeming to understand the gravity of the accusations and how everyone else has been affected by this. Was she someone who went through so much trauma that she literally, she's not capable of feeling today after going through so much as a defense mechanism where, you know, trauma comes your way, and she's so numb to it that she can't feel it because it would just be too much. She's already been overloaded with these other traumas. Because we have heard about the relationship traumas from adulthood, and it's been alluded to that there's other traumas from childhood and such. But from everything I've always understood, you know, with you guys, is that your home wasn't that traumatic or anything of that nature. Was there anything else that could have triggered, you know, kind of that numbness, that muteness to feeling and interpersonal relationships at some point in her life?
Rex, I'll let you talk about this because I think Rex has a good perspective on emotions and thoughts and
okay.
Well, thanks for that. My belief, not being a psychologist and not being able to get quite as deep as even you did there, Tony. Of course, there is trauma in her background, but none of that justifies, allows, or explains her action.
No.
You can take that so far as to say, well, because of all this trauma, she wasn't really accountable. She wasn't in her right mind. I draw a line there, even not being a psychologist, saying, No, she's accountable for her decisions. Plenty of people have done a lot worse and didn't kill their kids and bury and hide their bodies in a pet cemetery.
Sure.
So Lori is completely accountable for her actions, regardless of what had happened in her life and her influences. Now, from a psychology standpoint, I do know that all of us make allowance for what our conscience tells us shouldn't be in our life. We make allowance and we make room and we build a world around that. It's called cognitive dissonance in psychology. Mm-hmm. We build a world around it. And as we do that, we're building a fantasy world because it makes everything we want to do all right. Mm-hmm. And eventually that fantasy crumbles because it is fantasy. It's not reality. Lori is an extreme example of that. She built her fantasy world continuing to get what she wanted. And even with murders, even when Joe died, whether she had anything to do about it with it or not, I believe, and Adam believes, we've had this discussion, that to her that is validation. Okay, look, you got what you want. And then they moved on, and then Charles died, and no consequences to her. And mm-hmm. so she just keeps building up this fantasy, and it just crumbled in a big way, is my take on it.
Where it just kept being enabled over and over to a scary extent. We're talking about murder here. And I guess once you get away with it once, you know, and some people do keep going back. I guess the way that she went about it is so different than what we think of with typical murder cases, like your, I don't want to call it like Ted Bundy typical, but your types of serial killers or things of that nature. She seemed to have done it in a very strategic way that just kind of looked like life was happening, and feel sorry for her because there's so many tragedies around her at any given time. And it really all blended in so well. There's more to come in my conversation with Adam Cox and Rex Connor about the life of Lori Vallow Daybell and the tragic twists that it takes leading up to the death of her children and many others around her. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of our conversation right here. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
What if I told you that right now, millions of people are living with a debilitating condition that's so misunderstood, many of them don't even know that they have it? That condition is obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. I'm Dr. Patrick McGrath, the Chief Clinical Officer of NOCD. And in the 25 years I've been treating OCD, I've met so many people who were suffering from the condition in silence, unaware of just what it was. OCD can create overwhelming anxiety and fear around what you value most, make you question your identity, beliefs, and morals, and drive you to perform mentally and physically draining compulsions or rituals. Over my career, I've seen just how devastating OCD can be when it's left untreated. But help is available. That's where NOCD comes in. NOCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for obsessive compulsive disorder. Our licensed therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention therapy, a specialized treatment proven to be incredibly effective for OCD. So visit NOCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with our team. That's NOCD.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own. Surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.